I'm Dr. Orion Terraban, and this is PsychHacks, Better Living Through Psychology. And the topic of today's short talk is what people fail to understand about depression. Depression is one of the most commonly diagnosed mental illnesses on the planet. Legions of Americans are currently taking some form of prescribed antidepressant. It is a problem that affects the quality of life of millions and millions of individuals every day. And it's also an issue that is generally misunderstood by the vast majority of people, including those suffering from it. Let's talk about this today. The principal way in which depression is misunderstood is that it is considered to reside entirely between the ears of the depressed individual. I call this the intrapsychic fallacy. And this fallacy gives rise to the two most popular approaches to intervention, neither of which, unfortunately, is associated with a very high rate of success. We can look at each one in turn. The first way this fallacy manifests itself is in the belief that depression exists in the brain of the depressed individual. You're probably familiar with some version of the monoamine hypothesis, which I have previously discussed on this channel. The monoamine hypothesis is the theory that depression is caused by an imbalance in certain brain chemicals like serotonin. And if this were true, it would make sense to recalibrate the balance of these brain chemicals using pharmaceutical interventions. Now, many people don't know that this hypothesis was actually recanted by its originator decades ago due to a lack of evidence. To quote the largest meta-analysis ever conducted on the topic, quote, "The main areas of serotonin research provide no consistent evidence of there being an association between serotonin and depression, and no support for the hypothesis that depression is caused by lowered serotonin activity or concentrations." Link to the full study in the pinned comment. Note that the finding was no association, which means the meta-analysis failed to identify even a correlation, let alone a causation between serotonin levels and depression. What's more, antidepressants that manipulate serotonin have a terrible track record in randomized controlled trials when compared against an active placebo. And why aren't these findings more widely known? You know, I'm not sure, but I doubt it could have anything to do with the fact that there is an entire rationale for a multi-billion dollar industry that is predicated on the validity of that hypothesis. But I digress. The point here is that antidepressants are one of the inevitable consequences of considering depression to exist in the brain of the depressed individual. And the second way this fallacy manifests itself is in the belief that depression exists in the mind of the depressed individual. We could call this the cognitive hypothesis, which maintains that depression is caused by the presence of certain distorted beliefs about the self and the world. If these thoughts and beliefs were sufficiently restructured or brought into alignment with reality, then the depression should diminish significantly. And if this were true, it would make sense to restructure certain beliefs, like those related to the self-concept or associated with self-efficacy, using individual psychotherapy. And this isn't entirely wrong. Psychotherapy, especially cognitive behavioral therapy, is associated with a reduction in depressive symptoms. What's more, these reductions are typically more enduring than any reductions associated with psychiatric medications. That means that folks tend to derive a protective benefit from therapy even after it is discontinued that they don't derive from pharmaceuticals after they are discontinued. And certain therapeutic interventions might be necessary, though perhaps not entirely sufficient, to eliminating depression. For instance, it is extremely difficult, if not impossible, to recover from depression while the critical inner voice is still active and highly engaged. And psychotherapy can significantly help to silence this insidious introject. In any case, the point here is that individual psychotherapy is one of the inevitable consequences of considering depression to exist in the mind of the depressed individual. Now, before I go any further, if you're liking what you're hearing, please consider sending this episode to someone who might benefit from its message, because it's word-of-mouth referrals like this that really help to make the channel grow. You can also hit the thanks button and tip me in proportion to the value you feel you've derived from this episode. I rely on your support to make all this happen. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I will also soon be starting a weekly newsletter, so if you want to opt in, you can do so on my website. And finally, if you're thinking of going to grad school, it's that season, check out my top-rated GRE study program at stellargre.com. I wrote all the content. It's the best on the market. You're going to love it. Okay, so let's get back to it. So what's wrong with the intrapsychic fallacy? Well, in my opinion, it largely ignores where the lion's share of depression comes from, namely people's relationships to their larger environments. Of particular note is the fact that depression is associated with being low status in a self-relevant dominance hierarchy. Life is hard at the bottom of the ladder. Low status individuals are more likely to have limited, if any, optionality with respect to professional opportunities and little to no access to sexual relationships. They may have few to no friends or close confidants. They may be ignored or even reviled by those around them. And while it is possible, strictly speaking, to be peaceful and contented and resilient at the bottom of the hierarchy, it is extremely difficult to do so. And those who reside at the lowest rungs of these hierarchies are typically those least equipped with the skills to mitigate the effects of their status. And guess who always starts out at the bottom of any given status hierarchy? Young men. As soon as you get out there at 18, you are at the bottom of the barrel. That's why this is a particularly insidious disease among young men, this kind of status-oriented depression. The fact of the matter is that many people are depressed because of the actual state of their lives. Unfortunately, the symptoms of depression can keep people mired in this state much longer than is necessary. This is not only because depression is unjustifiably pessimistic or even hopeless about the future, and so inappropriately assumes that the way things are is the way they're always going to be, but because depression is associated with behavioral inertia, which makes constructive, concerted effort to alter the unfavorable state of things less likely as well. However, I'm here to tell you that moving up status hierarchies is one of the most reliable ways of becoming less depressed, for the simple reason that life doesn't suck quite so much when you're not at the bottom of the barrel. This is probably why the intervention that is most consistently associated with the alleviation of depression in the literature is behavioral activation. Actually getting out there and doing something different. When people change what they do, over and above changing the thoughts inside their minds or the chemicals inside their brains, they stand their best possible chance of influencing their positioning within any given status hierarchy and their relationship to their larger environment, among other things. These increases in status can make life significantly more comfortable, pleasant, and rewarding. And while it is certainly still possible to be depressed when life is comfortable, pleasant, and rewarding, it's probably a good idea to first rule out the possibility that the depression is caused by life being uncomfortable, unpleasant, and unrewarding. Like, are you depressed or are you lonely? Are you depressed or are you unfulfilled? Are you depressed or are you undisciplined? Loneliness, unfulfillment, and a lack of discipline are not diseases. So why would you go to a medical doctor to fix them? In any case, it's always a good idea to rule out the confounds first. What do you think? Does this fit with your own experience? Let me know in the comments below. And if you've gotten this far, you might as well like this episode and subscribe to this channel. You may also consider becoming a channel member with perks like the priority review of comments or booking a paid consultation. As always, thank you for listening.